But sometimes we have to build it up that you get to that with us. And I got to do this quickly because now I know we're at Pastor Appreciation Day, and I have to give time to those that are in charge of that. And I have to honor that. Come on. I have to get, you know, because I've been asked to. Even though it's my church. But I give honor to where honor is due. Come on. So glad to see you, Sarah, this morning. It's a blessing. Come on, say amen. For those that know Sarah, you know, we thank God to see her this morning. I have to apologize for poor Sister Veronica. We didn't say the birthdays today. What happened? There was no birthday. Yeah, it was Veronica's birthday. And she was ready at 8:30 this morning. She lives in the city Highland. And her ride that promised to pick her up didn't show up. She sent me pictures already because I wished her happy birthday anyway. And she would have been here. And I said, what? They didn't pick you up? I'm so sad. And she's all ready, poor thing. I don't want to tell you how old she is, but she's older than me. Bless the Lord. So I'm not the... But I thank God for that. And so, you know, I thought we had birthdays that just passed. And, well, happy birthday. Amen? Amen. The foundation that needs to be reinforced. Many of us that were here last week understand that foundation is your heart. The Bible would ask me to search my heart. How often? Daily. Come on, say daily. You should know every day where your heart is going. You know, and if you ever heard, and if you haven't, you'll hear it now. The way you go to sleep most likely is the way you're going to wake up. So if you don't, if your heart's not right in the morning, it won't wake up right in, in the evening, it won't wake up in the morning. Hello, somebody. So this is why it's good that you go to sleep right every night. You may not think you've done nothing wrong, but you'll be amazed if God was to put you on the screen and show you your thoughts, show you what you've seen, how you made a provision, how your actions were. Come on, somebody. I've seen so many Christians saying the F word so many times. Like, I go, I don't get, how can you say that? Because I don't introduce myself as a pastor anywhere I go. Hello. I know who I am. I'm not insecure. I don't need to go tell everybody I'm a pastor. I'm a son of God. That's all that counts. Come on. And then, you know, and I know these are saints of God because, you know, I know a lot of people out there, but I know their pastors and I know who goes to their church. So when I go introduce myself, I say, hey, how y'all doing? And how's your day? And that's the worst question to ask a Christian. How's your day? It should be blessed. Why? Because he gave me another day. No matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through, no matter what we've gone through, it is a blessed day because he's given me another opportunity to make it right. Or to see me through, because I know God is not through with us. Philippians 1 and 6 tells us, be confident in this one thing. Paul says it, so I should say it, so we should say it. Be confident that in this one thing, if there's anything, be confident that what he's begun in your life, say our life, he is going to complete. So I know God's not through with me. Come on, he's not through with me. For those that have gone home to be with him, he's through, and they're rejoicing in the heavens. My mom's up there, my brother's up there, my grandmother's up there, my relatives up there, many of my friends are up there. And they ain't coming back because they saw what they've seen. And if they had a choice, I'm sorry, and I don't blame them because what the word tells me is so good. Come on, but we have to be in a place. So in our heart, say our heart, we got to be careful because of our one instrument that is the most one other important other than our heart is our voice, our mouthpiece. Come on. You might not think it's that important until you're really hungry and there's food before you. Then it becomes important, right? You don't understand. No, it's a very important. That's why he only gave you one mouth. He gave me one nose. Oh, yeah, but you got two holes. He gave you two ears. There's reasons. He gave you two eyes. One mouth. Come on. Two hands, 2 feet. Come on. Just important that you understand the creation of God that we are, the created ones that we've become, and what's needful in that, what he's building up. And in verse number 35, King James Version, we're going to break it down a little bit. A good man, say a good man. You know, Jesus later on is going to say, why you call me good? In another gospel, one says, good teacher, good rabbi, good master. He turns around and tells him, why are you calling me good? There is none good. Because that's the way we see things in the human sense, with the ability of sight. You know, the way we see it, we think it's always good, but it's not always good as we see it. Come on. Because that puts us in a bad place about the opposite, and the opposition against faith is seeing is believing. I don't need to see. I believe. I believe. How can it be that you're waiting to see? You've never seen Jesus. You never saw the cross. You never seen the miracles that he did, but yet we believe. Come on, so seeing isn't believing. Hello, somebody. Believing is what we have received and know and walk by with and move forward. And he goes, a good man, come on, say a good man. That's you females, a good man. Okay, he, him, she, them, whatever. We're not in the way of the world. We're in the way of the kingdom. Say kingdom. We're ruled by a king. Even though I live in a democracy, a state where we vote, and now we don't even know if our votes count anymore. Some of you are so troubled by it, but you better know that God sets one up, God sets them down. So if he allows one to be sat down and another rise up, there's a reason, and most likely it's because of where we are as the church. We should be the most powerful, powerful ministry in the world. It's the United States of America with all the freedom, all the ministries around us. There are so many denominations out there. There are so many churches out there. We should be the strongest, but yet we're the divided. And the Bible talks about a divided kingdom shall not stay together. And we need to come together. Come on. And I got news for you. All faith do not lead to Jesus. Don't fall for that. Don't even say that. But it says a good man out of the good treasures, where? Of the heart bringeth forth good things. At evil, an evil man out of the evil treasures bringing forth evil things. But I say to you, and this is a correction that he's given the apostles, a correction. Do you not yet understand the parable? Do you not understand what we have just said to you? Do you not just understand everything you've seen and what we've been speaking, not only in private? Come on, how many know to sit next to Jesus, the 3.5 years that those apostles had, how mighty that was? Seeing what they saw? Come on, they saw him walk on the water. They saw him raise the dead. That seeing is believing. No, because they doubt it. After the miracles, they still doubt it. Now, you read the scriptures and you'll know the God we're talking about. And I'm going to tell you, that's the church today. We see it, and then all of a sudden, we're questioning. Even though we just came out of one. And that's because life, it's going to challenge us because of who we believe in. We have an enemy. You heard my wife say that. But he's defeated. Come on, somebody. He's defeated. He's disarmed. You know what that means? You're fighting a corpse. He's defeated, disarmed. Oh, help me here, Jesus. You better learn. It's time that we learn. I can't say you better. I wish we could force you to learn. But we can't do any of these things. And until you get to that place, you're going to be so concerned of what the world is mattering to you versus what God thinks is mattering to you. Because he's looking for his people to be the salt and the light of the earth. He's looking for his people to be out there shining in his glory. And only that we can do that when we know who he is and who we are. So again, and now he's correcting them and he's saying, but I say unto you, because this is the struggle, the parable of versus what goes in to what comes out. Hello. You see, be careful though. Be careful. He's talking about food at this point in that parable. And they didn't understand. What do you mean, Rabbi? What do you mean, Jesus? What do you mean, teacher? What do you mean, pastor? What do you mean, minister, apostle? Whatever you want to call those that rule over us. What do you mean that what goes in is not what defiles us of food? And Jesus had to explain it. And he got upset. You don't understand. What you get? You don't understand? Come on. Duh. Hello. Slap him on the side of the head. Wake up, somebody. You can't do that, though. Don't go say, Pastor said to slap you on the side of the head. Don't you dare say do that. Because I know you people too well. And I think we paid the light bill. Can we turn the AC on, or is that just me? Is it just me? Is it warm in here? I'm caliente. I'm warm. I know the anointing's on me, but come on. Somebody turn on the AC. We paid the bill. The lights are on. I know it's cool when you get here in the morning, but you got to put it on, because once the people start coming in and the 98 degrees of each one. But I say unto you, in this, in explanation, I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of, don't say that faster, judgment. Verse 37. For by the words that shall be, thy words shall be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Close your eyes for a second. Heavenly Father, we need the true interpretations of your word, Father. We don't need to be misinformed like they're speaking in our world today. We don't need to be in a place that it's compromised, Father. We need what you said. We shall know the truth, and the truth set us free. This morning, Father, you have everyone here for our truth. You love us so dearly, our Father. And your love is so strong for us, Lord God, that you're hoping in return we will love you. So this morning, Father, we pray these words come alive, Lord God. And let it not just be, Father, as we worshiped you. Thank you for the worship that we are able. Thank you we can lift up holy hands, Father. Thank you, my God, that we can shout out to you, my God. But don't let it just be a service, Father. Let it be a true lifestyle of our heart. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And I'm going to read it to you. I'm going to read this to you real quick, like in an international standard version. Verse 35. A good person brings good things out of a good treasure house. How many know where your house is? He's not talking about the place where you live. How many know he's talking about your heart? He's talking about your what belongs to him. How, do you realize that we were purchased with a price? Do you understand the apostle Paul's writing in the church to the church of Corinth that we were bought with a price? Do you realize what that statement really is? This is why it's important to know of your salvation, to know who you are, to know what you are to become, to know the plan that he has already that we have shared of Jeremiah 29. They're good for us. They're really good. But we got to be ready for everything that's going to come that's for good. Because anytime there's good, evil's coming. It's lurking. Satan lurks, it tells us in the Bible, of the first law of mention in the book of Genesis. Genesis, he's out there waiting for us. Satan's out there. The moment we leave, he's waiting for us because he wants to rob what is not his. That's your joy. That's your strength. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And if he can do that, he's going to do it. That's why he sits and he crouches waiting. He's looking for an entrance. He wants to get in. He wants to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10. Hello, somebody. He wants to come in because he don't want you to be where you're at, because he wants you where he's at. He's judged. He's condemned. Hello, somebody. He'll never. Okay, for you religious people. When the Bible says love your enemy, he's not talking about Satan. Amen. Okay? He's not talking about alcohol or drugs. Well, this is my enemy. I got to love them. No. Don't be ignorant. Don't. Never mind. I won't go there. God is good, because we can use the word however we like, right? Okay. Out of verse 36, he goes, I tell you, on the ISV version, I tell you, on judgment day, people will give an account for everything. Thoughtless word. That's what idle means, thoughtless. How many know we speak a lot of thoughtless words? Non-meaningful words. More complaining than praising words. How many know we should be praising God more often? I understand of life. Really, we have been tested in life. We have been put through the ringer in life, especially since we come to know Christ and been rejected by family, kicked out, been talked about. Hello, because you don't want us, and if we don't come, we're bad either way. So we had to learn. Say, learn. How do we deal with this, God? How do we win them when it's them? And He'll tell you, you be careful for you. Watch what you say. Don't let them be thoughtless word. Come on, how many of you? God's talking to somebody. You've been speaking negativity to your own self, especially when you get together with those that are negative. How many know what I just said? There are those, when I see them of my past, I don't want to ask them how they're doing, Lord. I cannot ask them because I know what they're going to tell me. Every time I used to see them in church, they kept me for a half hour outside. How bad it is. And I'm sorry. I come from a business world that in sales, I was a sales manager, general sales manager. I started at the bottom right. Green P, they called me, you know, because I was fresh. Being in sales, you have to be everything. You have to be a psychologist. You have to be a weather person. You have to be a physician, because we had to overcome all statements. Say amen, somebody. And so that comes with the church. It's not a bad day. It's a day the Lord has made. Hello, somebody. And it goes, I tell you, on Judgment Day, people will give an account to every thoughtless word they have uttered. What we speak. The Bible says, as a man thinketh. Proverbs, right? So are we. Come on, somebody. And then he goes, because of, by your words, say my words. You see, this is why you need to learn to understand what the scripture says about examining who. He never called me to examine you. He called me to examine myself. I can't examine her that I can tell you, but I can tell you all her faults. I can tell you straight up. And she'll strike back and say, oh, I can tell them about you too. And more. Come on. But he didn't call me to do that. But as a husband, I'm her covering. Come on. I have to show her the way. I have to love, like I love the church, I have to love her. Why? Because Christ loved the church, us. So there's a love that you got to learn. Hello, somebody. And I don't know how can you put something so down if you love them? Hello. What's love got to do with this? Don't believe those words. See, I was in the world one time. God brought me out. Young age. Thank the Lord he spared my life. Come on. I don't forget 12-12 in 1980. Hello, somebody. Some of you weren't born. That's okay. But I can tell you about where you're headed. Come on, somebody. Because of your words, you will be acquitted. And by your words, you will be condemned. See, we don't want to hear that. Your condemnation, that's more for the non-believers, but for the believer, it is going to rob you of what God has given for you. The Apostle Paul talks about the day that's going to come, and it's either going to be hay, wood, stubble, silver, or gold. We're going to be one of those five. Wow. God would have you to be gold. What that means, when the fire comes, it's all it's going to do is burn off the dross, and you're going to come out shiny. And that's what God's will in the heavens. Say in the heavens. Because there's positions in the heaven. I know you all want a mansion. And you know how I feel about mansions. Come on. You can't even keep your car clean, let alone a mansion. I didn't even go to your home. I didn't even go to your apartment. I've seen some of these cars. Where do you think I'm at in my office? Where do you think I'm at? I'm in the car. I'm on the parking lot looking at your cars. Come on. I said, okay, God. You got a little piggy here. Oh, this is a hog. This is a guy. Kidding. That's humor. But what is he trying to tell us? Go to the book of Matthew, same book. Let's go to the 15th chapter. I'm going to do this quickly now. Let's go to the 15th chapter. And again, he's speaking parables. How many know the Lord likes to speak parables? He loves to do that. He still does that today, believe it or not. But for us, it should not be what Jesus is about to say. I'm still in the International Standard Version, though. And I'm going to start at verse number 16. We're going to do a little reading with me to verse number 20. And it says, then Jesus said, are you still ignorant? How many know the Bible says we should not be ignorant? I don't need to second guess God. I don't need to. I need to know who my God is. Come on, somebody. I know when it's my God and it's not my God. That's not my God. Hello? That's a compromising God, and my God is not a compromising God. Jesus did not compromise on that cross for no reasons. Hello? And he was the Son of God. He could have came down. He could have stopped the whole process. He could have stopped it early in the day. He didn't have to get whipped. He didn't need to get scorned. He didn't need to be whipped. He could have stopped all of that, but he didn't compromise by saying, "The will be done, God, Father, that you are in heaven." We need to get to a place that our love for God will do whatever God says to do, no matter what the price may be. Jesus said to his disciples, these are his followers. He's not talking to the non-believing people. He's saying, Jesus, because Peter asked him on verse 15, explain this parable. And again, are you still ignorant on verse 16, 17? Don't you know that everything that goes into the mouth passes through the stomach and then is expelled as waste? On verse 18, but the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, say the heart. No, I'm just kidding. I just say that sometimes. No, you're not kidding. No, you're not. You want to make it like, because you don't want to hurt or offend. Come on. Just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. This is the word of God. I'm telling you right now. Again, everything that goes in the mouth, 17, passes through the stomach and then expelled in a waste. Number 18, but the things that come out of the mouth comes from the heart, and it's those things that make a person unclean. What? It is out of the heart, the evil. Look at, he's going to explain what your heart's like when you speak like this. It's out of your heart that evil thoughts come. How many know we can think evil? Anybody drive the 91 between 6 and 10:30? Trying to get to even Riverside. Hello. What's your true thoughts when that person in front of you cut you off? I know you all lift up your hands, right? You all start praying for them, right? I know what you do, but you forgot why is only one finger up. You see, God sees all things. But better yet, what did you just say to them? Because it's already recorded in the heavens. What? Did you just cuss them out? You saint of God. Oh, God, forgive me. I'm not perfect. How many have said that? God forgives us. Better yet, you understand how God, because you were down there. Show me all the bad words that he said when they were whipping him, when they were accusing him, just accusing him. Hello? Somebody accuses you, how do you feel? Somebody says a one word against you. How do you react? What does your life turn? Oh my God, life is over sometimes because somebody said it. Those people don't mean nothing. Oh, Jesus, help me here. 19. It is out of the heart that evil thoughts come from, as well as murder. Evil thoughts. Murder. How many of you know what murder represents in today's world also? Not just taking one's life. It means what? It's an anger. Come on. Murder, words, adultery. What do you mean, adultery? Words of adultery? Well, yeah. You know, I don't agree with this. So, ladies, I'm going to tell you right straight up. You don't have a right to say, that's a good-looking man. You don't have a right if you're married. If you get mad at your husband for even looking as the girl walks in front of him. Guys, you don't have a right. Come on, say amen. And this is just, these are words. But remember, he already knows the thought of man. Oh, he's fine looking. Oh, she's hot. Nobody's saying anything. Yeah, your words are. You're seeing it in a slow manner. Oh, you don't want to hear this. Okay, I'll go on. It's fine. I'll let God deal with you after you leave. Come on. Sexual immorality. Stealing. Well, the earth belongs to the Lord. Why not? It's mine. I'm talking about grapes in the store. I'm talking about the open candy that are in the bins. Well, I got to try it to see if I like it. And that's what a lot of people do in marriage. Let me try to see if I like it. Hello, somebody? False testimony and slander. These are the things that make a person unclean. But eating, here's the parable was, and the storyline was, some the parable was the apostles eating with unclean hands. But eating with unwashed hands doesn't make a person unclean. So if you didn't wash your hands, you're okay. Just don't touch my food. Just don't shake my hand. Hello, somebody. Hello. Some of you. Going yet with the book of Proverbs real quick, like. Go to the book of Proverbs. I'm trying to build you up that who you are and what you are and your foundation, your heart, understanding your heart, understanding to one of the main mechanisms of the heart. Next to it is the mouth, and it's connected. Come on, somebody. Book of Proverbs real quick, like. I have more that I want to talk about, but we're going to keep it short and sweet. Going to book, Proverbs chapter 18. It's not a chapter, but you know. Man, why did I, come on, what'd you do that to me for? Are you here this morning? Give him a praise. You're too quiet for me. Verse 21, well-known verse. Many of you have quoted it before, but still you refuse to act on it. I'll just read it from up there. Yeah, mine finally come. It's acting up. It's telling me how you feel. Verse number 21. The power of. How many like to bite their tongue? How many have said bite your tongue when somebody's speaking to you evil? Have you ever said that? Come on. I have said that. Lord, bite their tongue for them. Because they're speaking that they don't know who they're speaking to. I'm a child of God. Hello, somebody. And they don't have a right to be talking like that in my presence. See, I'm taking command. I'm taking control. You see, what we don't understand that in our mindset versus what we believe in our heart. Why do you think those religions are so strong out there? Especially when the mind over matter is so strong. That's taken from our God, because the word of God says, as a man thinketh, so is he, right? That's taken from the context to us as Christians, to us that are born again believers, to us that God is raising up in a time. You are in a perfect time today. You are purposed to be here no matter what your age is. You heard the testimony, 81, prostate cancer. Let's pray anyway. Come on, somebody. Some will say, well, he's reached an age. You know, he passed the 70 plus 10, Psalm 90. Come on. But no, let's pray. Let's believe. We're believing one today. I heard a report. Nope, in the name of Jesus. Come on. Because the age doesn't matter with our Father in heaven. Ask Abraham. Ask him. Most people forget about Abraham. He had two children, right? No, he didn't. After Sarah died, he got married again. Fool. Oh, wait. Repent, pastor, because the Bible says, call nobody fool. That's alive. Come on, church. Abraham's not alive. I'm his child. He says we're all children of Abraham. Hey, pops, what's wrong with you? Some of you need some humor. Some of you need some joy in your heart. Life has robbed you. And we all have experienced that. If not, we will experience it. And God's going to allow it to be experienced, that he can take you out of that experience, that we can help someone else going through that experience. Because that's how good God is. You know, people have been in worse position than we have ever been. The power, though, of the tongue is what? Life? What? Death? I wish you were dead. You don't know how serious those words are. You have an enemy that will take that straight to the heavens and say, your child just said that person was dead. How do you think God the Father thinks about that? If you don't believe me, read the book of Job. Job's up there. God was boasting. God likes to boast on you. He loves to uplift you because you're his child. And he told Satan, hey, you know that one down there? That's my man down there. That's Job. And well, Satan has an answer. Yeah, but I can't touch him. That's for you. He can't touch you. The Job experience is not for you. It was for Job. It was a time of Job. Come on, somebody. Because you have a hedge around him. And you have a hedge that you don't realize is so strong before Almighty God. So what are you talking about? Because we're talking about our tongue. We're talking about life. We're talking about death. We're talking about God and Satan having a conversation. And Satan is listening to our conversations. Again, if these walls could speak. No. If your walls in your home could speak, what would they say about you? Hello? If we let every recording word that's ever been recorded, because they are recorded, be said and heard in the monitors all over the United States, what would we hear on people? You have heard experiences. You have heard on the workforce, where you're at on the workforce, people while they talk. Some of you are, if you're like me, I'm amazed. You are a Christian. Oh, I didn't know that. You could have fooled me. Not by the way you act, by the way you talk. Come on. Because the way you talk, James says it like this. How can bitter water and sweet water come out of the same faucet? That's our mouth. That's our heart. How can this be? I had a foul mouth before Jesus. He saved me. I still had a foul mouth. That's one thing I had to learn to fix. I had to learn to use the bridle in my mouth. And how to control it that I won't say just foul words. Don't worry about the bad words. Words in general. Come on. Because the man, the power of tongue, those who love to talk will eat it, whatever it produces. You like to talk bad? You like to talk the way it is? You like to be that around all those things? That's what you're going to produce in your walk. Come on, somebody. In other words, either your tongue's going to build up or your tongue's going to tear down. And sorry about this, but husband and wife, we do that very good, don't we? Come on. Have you ever been told that you're lazy? Have you ever been told, I wish I never married you? Have you ever heard this? My wife never told me that. She never told me that. I've never told her that. Hello? But we have said some harsh words to each other. Because, you know, we're both pastors, we're both leaders, we're both heads. Come on. We use a word against each other. Well, my sword is longer and sharper. Mine is longer and sharper. Hello? We start cutting each other with the word of God. Come on, slicing and dicing. I said, well, we want to go in the frying pan together. Hello, somebody. Either we're building up. And how many know that you've been called to build up people? Even that's why your experiences of life, say experiences of life. This is why he gives us the word of our testimony. What do you say? The word of our testimony, book of Revelation. The word of our testimony. What does it do? It builds up. It makes us overcomers. Come on. Why? 4:4 of 1 John again. It's the greater one. He's in us. And this morning, as we approach this world of ours, we need to go out speaking, building up. Not tearing down, because that's what death. Death means you're tearing them constantly down. Good for nothing. You'll never amount to nothing. You're constantly overdoing this. Stop saying those words because you're bringing life to words that should be dead. Come on. This is so simple because you have the heart of God now. This is why check your foundation. Check your heart. Where is it with God? Be careful that your pain, your past, which is not your future, which does not direct your future unless you bring it to your present. God has a word, cast all your cares to me. Believe it or not, I care for you. I know where you come from. I know where you've been through. I'm here for you. I want to lift you up. I want to put you where you belong, but you must give it to me. Build up what you keep tearing apart. And I'm talking the words that you speak to yourself mentally, vocally. This morning, God's will is that we rise up. God's will is that we be the head, not the tail. God's word and will is that we never, never beg for bread. God's word is that you will go through the fire, but it will not burn you. Because I'm going to go in the fire with you. Hello? And in closing, I'm going to tell you a parable. The parable of Jesus. He told the disciples after feeding the 4,000. No, Pastor, 5,000. He fed 5 and he fed 4. Read the scriptures. One had 12 baskets, one had 7 baskets. Read the scriptures. Come on, somebody. It happened twice. And listen, you're no different than them. They questioned him on the second time. How are we going to feed all these? We just fed 5,000 over here. How do we forget? Because the words, our thoughts, our heart. Come on. And after that, after the feeding of the 4,000, he says, get in the boat and go to the other side. And of course, what's going to happen? They're going to get in the boat. He's going to go to pray. He wants to be alone. They're going to get on the boat. And I'm paraphrasing and closing out with you. And if you find this in the book of Mark, you'll find it in the book of Matthews. Do some reading for yourselves. And all of a sudden, the storms, how many little storms started rising? The wind started blowing. Hello? This is where Peter says, and they got so afraid because they saw somebody walking in the storm, walking the water in the wind, the rain hitting them. And all of a sudden, they were fearful. And then as he got closer, they said, oh, it's you, Jesus. One says that Peter said, Lord, bid me that I walk with you. The Lord says, yeah, come on. And he did. And he walked like one or two steps. And then, of course, the storms of life right there got him. He started to sink. But thank the Lord, even though he sank, who stretched out his hand, it says. He did, right? He did. Church. But we miss seeing the true statement of that. The whole parable there that's being spoken to, the whole word that's being spoken, is that we stop and we don't see that. He's going through the storm with you. And he's walking in the storm with you. He's walking on water, which represents, if you know the Word of God, then you can now be an encourager of the Word of God, in the Word of God, but and that you will be one that can walk the waters because he's there with us. I promise he's never going to leave me nor forsake me. I promise I'm the fourth one in the fire. I promise I'm going to calm the lions down if you get thrown into the den of the lions. Come on. Promise I'm going to be with you if you're in prison. I will put favor on you. Promise. But to walk in the promise, you must learn to have a changed heart. Say a changed heart. 5:17 of 2 Corinthians says, all things become new. Until that happens in you, until you tell God, take it out, nothing can happen. If you want to remain of where your pain is, we all have pain. Trust me, if you have a past, there's pain. It probably started with your puppy love. Your first true pain of puppy love. Come on. That broke your heart. And then it continues to feed pain after that. Bad choices after that. Bad wills after that. Then you come to Christ, and there he is. But you got to let go of that. Come on, somebody. Say amen. Give him a praise offering. He's with us. I'm calling out my daughter. Calling up Mr. Kevin Duran, our youth overseer. Come on. I'm getting the single, so I got to sit down.
Hi, good morning, church. How's everyone doing this morning? Today is a blessed day. There's a day that the Lord has made. And today, we are going to be honoring our pastors. We're going to open up for everyone to come up here to the front. And everyone has 2 minutes to say how you feel about the pastors, thanking them, what they've done for you. And I'm just going to kick it off. So for those who don't know me, I'm Kevin Dran. I've been attending this church for, and since I was 21 years old, I'm 32 years old. So 11 years, they call me Unc now. For those who know the term, it's an old person now. But I've been here since 21 years old, got out of college, started attending church, and the Lord led me to be, put me in the path to be in this church through another sister in Christ, but that's another story for later. It's been a quite a journey. You know, I was a little kid, I was a teenager, basically 21, and now